You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Not all who wander are lost.
And Daryl.
I mean, sure, I'm lost, but not all of us are.
Greetings and welcome to episode 183 of The Training Dummies, recorded on November 27th, not November 28th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and that intro is very fitting because I thought this show was going to be tomorrow, but nope, we're recording tonight. I got a text from Rob at 8:59, we record at 9, saying, hey, are you ready? Ready for what? So anyway, I'm here, I'm ready to go now. How you doing, Rob?
That was the most compelling story I think we've ever shared on this show. Getting people so hyped for what they're about. Oh, I know. I'm doing great, man. I'm looking forward to this one a lot. It's the next installment of the Stay Classy series.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just get into it? Because I'm really hyped to talk with our guest.
All right. So we're doing Monks tonight, and for that we have with us this evening. Let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to Scribe.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
I am doing excellent. I've had at least one beer. I made a mojito ice cream, and I'm ready to talk about Monk stuff.
Okay, I'm curious, though, before we get into that, how did that ice cream turn out? I saw you post that on Twitter today, and I just all I was thinking was, what?
Yeah, okay, so for Thanksgiving, there kind of needs to be a little bit of a backstory thing. For Thanksgiving, I made a rum vanilla ice cream, which turned out really, really good.
That sounds really good.
It was really, really good. And it got me thinking, what if I could do more alcohol flavored ice creams? And my favorite mixed drink is a mojito. So I thought, I'm going to try a little experiment. So far, I haven't tasted it because it's in the fridge right now, cooling, but it's basically a custard base with a mint and lime zest, like herb sugar, mix in with cream, bit of lime juice, and some rum. So it basically smells like a really nice lime ice cream. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow when I actually get to taste test it and see if there's actually that hint of mint and rum undertones there.
Nice. You'll have to let me know how that goes. I'm really curious, actually.
Yeah, no.
So I'm not going to lie. I've met a lot of people at BlizzCon over the last few years, and none of them have offered me a baked good until I met you. And that was amazing. So I had a feeling that some sort of culinary discussion was going to come up, and sure enough, man.
I mean, I'm pretty much a real-life Pandaren.
I love it, though. It is so good, man.
All right, well, why don't you talk a little bit about your background with gaming, Blizzard games, Warcraft, et cetera, and what you do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I started at the wee old age of 12 years old playing Warcraft 3.
Oh, man. you guys all make me feel so old.
Hey, it's okay, man. We're all old in our own
like
space.
Soldier 76. We're all old now.
Yeah, we're all soldiers now. But no, yeah, I started playing that. I got into World of Warcraft. Was absolutely terrible until like midway through Burning Crusade when I started playing a tank. Kind of took a break from tanking and Cataclysm. Then I went to the 2011 BlizzCon, saw the Monk stuff, and I was like, I got to get in on this. So I got in on that, and I started writing guides for Brewmasters during the beta, during live. Had to quit raiding after my computers blew up. Like, multiple computers blew up. It was awful. but I just basically continued doing that. Did theory crafting for Monks pretty much since the inception of the class. Kind of on and off, depending. I've done a lot more in Legion than in like Warlords, but yeah. Then I, meanwhile, I was really interested in just games, and so I went to school for a degree in media and information, which should mean absolutely nothing to anyone unless you went to my school. But the long story short is that I went in for game design. So I graduated.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I graduated this spring, and I'm just kind of doing a little bit more of a touch up for my resume, kind of working on a tabletop game that I've been like working on and off on for the last like several years. Like, I think it's 3 to 4 years at this point. But yeah, so I'm just kind of doing that. Still doing like Brewmaster stuff. I have a guide on Wowhead now, which is ridiculous thinking about like even 5 years ago thinking, hey, you know that site where you go for like everything World of Warcraft related nowadays? Yeah, no, you're going to have a guide on that in 5 years. Like 5 years younger me would just be like, what? Stop it. Go away. Pretty much. No, like that's such a... I'm really thankful for the opportunity for that. But yeah, like that's basically who I am, what I do, how much of a giant nerd I am, all that good stuff.
I think we all are. We really are.
Absolutely. You're in good company, man.
I mean, it's a podcast for World of Warcraft. I mean...
Exactly. All right. Well, I think we're ready to get into the monk stuff. Rob, are you ready?
You know my history with monks, man. I am way ready.
All right.
This is Katie from the Thorn and the Goblin, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
Well, if you have any questions or comments or want to find out how we are doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl _TTD. And yes, it's all about the Brewmasters and the Mistweavers and the Windwalkers tonight, as Scribe is going to take us through the next installment of Stay Classy, and we get into all the monk goodness. So, Scribe, why don't you kind of... We're going to pick up where, I guess, kind of where Legion starts off, where we meet up with Dadgar, and he's freaking out, telling us to go and do the thing.
So why do
we start right there?
Doing the thing, my favorite doing at all in any game. No, yeah, but for real, so we begin with a bit of tragedy in Legion. You know, a lot of classes, you know, they have some trouble. They have some losses, some struggles at the Broken Shore. But the monks, we kind of get kicked really hard. And the Legion invades the Peak of Serenity, our little hidey hole away from the rest of the world, where monks can be monks and do monk things like punch people and balance on stuff. And we basically barely get out with our lives. We leave the temple in ruins, and we find ourselves on Shenzhen Su, the Wandering Isle, aka the Giant Turtle, with the original Grandmaster dead. And so we find ourselves becoming the new Grandmaster and tasked with going to find an artifact of legendary power to help fight against the Legion. And there our story begins.
So it sends us back to kind of our originating point, huh?
Yeah, no, especially for anyone who played a Pandaren, which I think is like 50% of monks. I think we have that statistic. I think it's at least 50%, mm-hmm. somewhere around there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be pretty hard pressed to find like another monk. Like, why? You know,
it's so good. It's like, yeah, blood elves.
I think I rocked a blood elf monk for a while, but yeah, I don't know. I helped a friend's guild out with Stay Classy and ended up with a Tauren, or not a Tauren, a troll monk. But yeah, mm-hmm. that was a whole nother mess.
But yeah, no, like we see our common fortress, the place that we thought that we would stand against the Legion, in ruins. Like, we go to it, it's immediately on fire, and we just have to freak out and help everybody. And then we go to the Wandering Isle, which for Pandaren monks is the entirety of our 1 to 10 progression. Closer to 115, depending.
Yeah, it's depending on how aggressive you are with professions and whatnot. It's you know, anywhere between like 12 to 15, I think ish.
Yeah, no, but like it's a pretty significant chunk of your early leveling experience, at least.
I have not done it now since you can create heirlooms from your inventory, but yeah.
Ooh, that's probably a lot of XP. That's probably a lot. Yeah, no, probably like easily 15 at that point. But anyway. Yeah, so we go to the Wandering Isle and, you know, talking about, you know, the class hall. That's a class hall. And it's like, it is in my opinion, and I can say this without any hint of bias at all, it is the best class haul. Because it is the biggest class haul. Never mind that the majority of it is pretty much just explorable and there's not actually like stuff there, but it's the biggest class haul. So there you go.
So being the biggest makes it the best, or are you talking aesthetics, or?
I mean, I am personally a massive sucker for Pandaren architecture, and the scenery of the Wandering Isle is gorgeous. So from an aesthetic perspective, yeah, it's extremely good. I just love the fact that you can explore the vast majority of it. The only part that you can't is the Wood of Staves, which is blocked by like a fellish barrier.
Mm.
It's weird. I always thought that was like going to be unlocked later in like the Order Hall campaign or later in Legion. I don't know if that's just like something that was just like, this is something that we might be using in later development or not or whatever, but part of the island is really cool. Like, I'm not on a role-playing server, but if I was, I would be absolutely exploiting that space for some really cool role-play moments.
I leveled a lot of pandas, and through a lot of that, I always really enjoyed the starting zone experience, but you never go back there.
Yeah. So
it was kind of nice in this that you do go back there, and it's all kind of open area. So
yeah, no, it's really cool. Like I want to say even like the at least beginning month, maybe the first 2 weeks, spent like an hour just kind of exploring the aisle and trying to find all the really cool places where you could like hang out if you wanted to. There's a lot of really, really beautiful places that you don't even really go to when you're leveling. There's just a lot of explorability in that zone.
I know Daryl has a monk because he and I were leveling up together for a little while. Where did you leave off there? How familiar are you with that area, Daryl?
I think my monk is like level 60, maybe 65. So yeah, that's the extent of it there.
I feel like you're doing yourself a disservice not getting that one leveled up. It does all three specs, so it's kind of like you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty great. It's
yeah, pretty great. I just don't have the time to level all these. I'd love to do them all and do the story for all of them. But yeah, it's that whole time factor. Like, if I could quit my job and then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Still afford to play all these games and... And everything else, payment, I need to win the lottery.
Yeah.
Clearly, that is my life goal, is to win the lottery. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. As much as I have a distaste for cold weather, if you win the lottery, I'd be willing to also quit my job and come and live on your property.
Nice.
All right, so yeah. Then after that opens up, then what's kind of the next? Is it jump into artifacts, or I know there was you ended up in like what was it Kunlai Summit or one of those?
Oh, Kunlai areas Summit kind is where the temple is, right?
Yeah, initially, yeah.
So that gets blown to bits, and then you go to three different places depending on which artifact you get. You kind of if you get the Brewmaster artifact, which you know. I probably know the most about because I've done it like twice now. No, three times. Beta, main, and then an alt that I was leveling. Anyway, that kind of sends you on a bit of a goose chase through the Valley of Four Winds and the Jade Forest, ultimately culminating in the Temple of the Jade Serpent. The Shailun, the Mistweaver artifact, that kind of throws you over to the Terrace of Endless Springs. You know, the old raid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're kind of solo healing a five man in that old raid.
Yep. And then the Fist of the Heavens sends you to Uldum and then Skywall. Specifically, I forget the name of the dungeon.
It's the cloud one from Cataclysm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's down in Uldum. Yeah, dang it, man. Why can't I remember that?
I mean, Skywall is the elemental plane. I know that, but I don't remember the dungeon.
Daryl, what was that one where you go up, but you're up in the clouds?
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called, though.
All the little wind elementals everywhere. Mm-hmm.
So terrible. I'm awful. I don't got anything.
The raid was Throne of Four Winds, but I can't remember what the...
Yeah. I'll get it in a second here.
Vortex Pinnacle?
That's it. Yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, yeah,
Vortex. Gotta be right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yep, the Vortex.
Hey, let's go to VP. Let's go to VP. That's what it was.
Get that rare mount. Yeah.
No, oh, yeah. So, the mount.
It's actually, I wouldn't call it a source of pride, but it's a source of class pride, I guess, is the best way of putting it, in that monks actually have every single one of our artifact missions is completely unique to us. So
yeah, you're right. A lot of them, they kind of get recycled between a couple of other specs or classes, and the monks are all unique, huh?
Unholy Death Knight and at least Guardian, or not Guardian Druid, Balanced Druid, Affliction Warlock as well. That all goes to Karazhan. I know Arcane and Discipline both go to the Nexus in Kuldara.
Blood Decay and one of the Hunter.
Marksman Hunter, I think.
Marksman, go to some sort of Legion-y fell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only other all unique is Shamans.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
I think they're the only other class that has, like, completely unique artifact missions.
Yeah, now that you mention it. Yep, they have the healing one goes to the... I'm not even going to remember these dungeons. But yes, you are correct.
Yeah, I don't remember them.
The water dungeon from
Kata. Yeah, the Kata water dungeon.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, and Doomhammer is in Deepholm.
Yep.
Yep.
And the elemental one is kind of...
Temple of the
Pandaria. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, I never really thought about that. Yeah, a lot of them, like, even like Arms Warrior, Holy Pally, and Shadow Priest, I think all have the same... Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's okay. So monks and shaman are the only ones that get kind of unique artifact lines.
Yeah. No. And like, speaking of artifacts, you know, like, I also heavily appreciate the fact that monks have some of, like, in canon, some of the most overpowered weapons in the universe. Because, like, think about it, right? The Fists of the Heavens. You know, you think about that. It's like, oh, it's just an air-powered, like, pair of, like, fist daggers, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, so here's the thing. The story of the Fists of the Heavens is essentially that there was an air elemental he was a Tolvir, actually, named Irmat, who was trying to create these powerful weapons by stealing the essence of Alakir, the wind lord, the elemental lord of air, right?
Uh-huh.
But Alakir is like, see what you're doing? My power. More than what you want. So he basically not only has these fist weapons that have the power of an elemental lord, they are literally overcharged with it. So these are weapons that are supposed to be completely uncontrollable. They are supposed to be able to punch with the force of a hurricane. That's not even hyperbole. That is literally what happens.
Yeah, that's the actual artifact ability, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So when a Windwalker monk is punching someone with that weapon, imagine all of the force of a hurricane centered on that fist weapon. Like, that's insanity. And then you have Shailun, the Mistweaver's staff. This is the staff that essentially enabled 10,000 years of magical mist protecting an entire continent. That's insane. That's so powerful. That's such an impactful thing in the history of Warcraft and the history of Azeroth. Like, this is something that easily, you know, stands up with some of the more classically known artifacts like Ashbringer or Frostmourne or Full of Malorn, or like any of these things. And in some ways, I would argue eclipses them in its sheer magnitude. And then you have the Brewmaster staff, which, I mean, like, first impression, it looks like a walking stick with a hobo bindle on it, like a drunken hobo bindle on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that is made by a Titan Keeper from the first Tree of Pandaria. It has essences of the Emerald Dream, and it's supposed to essentially, let me find the quote, and this is why it's completely overpowered. Let me find this. All right, where's my artifact text? I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, what it says is more or less that you can, it is a weapon that can never be touched by another weapon. So if you think about that in canon, Titan Keepers are some of the scariest things in Warcraft lore in terms of power. You know, these are things that are designed to try and watch over old gods, right? And the only reason they fail in doing that is because they get corrupted by them. So you have a weapon made to be impossible to be defeated by any other weapon that is stronger than a Titan Keeper.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't know how they balance that.
It's mechanics over lore is how right, it balances that. Yeah. But like the fantasy and lore that goes into these weapons is honestly on par with some of the names of like famous artifacts that have been with Warcraft for a decade or
longer. Whatever, the Red Pally one, Ashbringer. Yeah,
like Ashbringer, yeah. Frostmourne. These are things that, in my opinion, easily stack up with those things in regards to significance and lore once you actually like see them and see why they're actually important and why they're significant.
So were any of the monk artifacts, were they all pre-existing or were any of them kind of...
As far as I remember...
Created to fit the specs.
As far as I remember, they were pretty much created to fit the specs. I don't think Shailun was ever mentioned. Because, like, the Emperor shorts, the two
Oh, my gosh, I loved those. Those are so good. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
But I don't remember Shailun being in those. So I'm pretty sure they were all pretty much made in Legion time, like, during the dev cycle for that.
All right, so now that we've got all the artifacts, what are the next step that we do through all the order halls is the followers. So what are some of the followers that we get along the way in the monk story? I know there's some pretty big names that we've been hearing about for a long time. So who are these people?
Yeah. So,
Lely.
Yeah. That's all you need. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, a good number of them are, like well-named people. So, you know, you have your Chen Storm Souts, you have your Lili, you have your Terran Zoo, you have the Monkey King, who I believe we meet on the Timeless Isle during that bit in Mists of Pandaria.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah. And then he comes back and he's the guy who kind of leads you around on your goose chase with Fuzan's quest line. Then you have a couple new people. You have Hero and Salara Steelsong and Angus Ironfist, which, side note, Angus is the best name ever.
Angus Ironfist?
That's
a pretty... He's not a Tauren, though, is he?
No, he's a dwarf.
If there was a Tauren monk named Angus Ironfist, that'd be all there.
I would not subscribe to that name.
They missed the ball on that one. Someone dropped the ball.
Meat puns, steak puns on a Tauren, sir, please.
It's obvious, but it's good.
Good is a relative term, and I will fight you about that. Anyway, then you also have Aegira, who is a Vrykul brewmaster, who you meet during the Class Hall campaign, and then Brewer Almai, who is a brewmaster who respects to Mistweaver, who you meet during the Legion Fall campaign in 7-2.
So maybe let's move into the class mount story from there then. So you've got all of our, you've done all of our, was there anything special about the monk story leading up to that? Like, what did you have to do? Anything else that was unique to the monks?
I mean, in terms of just in terms of the play experience,
I mean, a lot of it, like every class hall basically followed the same formula, right? Do these
more or less
table things, go out and do the thing, go do this dungeon, go get me three of these, go talk to Dadgar, go, you know, but
there was some uniqueness because you interact with the Stormbrew about like at the beginning of, I would say, like either the second half or at the end of the first third of the experience, and there's just this really powerful buff that, like, this damage buff. And so you spend the majority of the campaign then learning with Aegira, well, the Vrykul beer lady, to learn how to make a perfected version of the Stormbrew. You help rescue her master, all that good stuff. So there's some actually relatively unique gameplay with that, and it's touched upon more with the Brewer Almai storyline in 7.2, mm-hmm. Where like the end bit is you're basically just like jumping around like a crazy person, throwing kegs of Stormbrew at all these demons and these Vrykul evil brewmasters, and it's just crazy and amazing, and it was like the most fun I've ever had. It was so good. But and you get like a taste of that with one of the daily quests, or the world quests rather,
in there. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, you get that crazy like jumping.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's actually so one of my favorite ones to do, not because it's easy, but it's just kind of fun.
It's so much fun. But I mean, yeah, like that's pretty much sort of the more unique stuff in regards to the gameplay. In terms of the lore, if you don't mind me talking about this a little bit.
Absolutely.
So the general story is, in my opinion, not sort of as grandiose and epic as some of the other class halls. Because like, you know, the druids, you know, you are going through the Emerald Dream and fighting at the pinnacle of the War of the Ancients to rescue Malorn from the Emerald Nightmare. Mm-hmm. The Death Knights, you are recreating the Four Horsemen of the Scourge under the banner of the Ebon Blade. The Shamans, you are basically being a diplomat to all of the Elemental Lords, getting them to fight for your side against the Legion. Paladins, you're gearing up this war to fight against the Dreadlord who helped kill Tyrion. Yeah, Tyrion Forging. There we go. I didn't forget him. But like all of these quest lines are really grandiose and epic and really just like amazing. And then you have the monks where, yeah, there's really cool moments. There's really epic moments, but it's a lot more grounded. You know, you spend the first third of the class hall stuff helping your fellow monks. You know, you're saving people during the siege of the Peak of Serenity, and then you're going after some of your friends who are still enslaved by the demons, and then you keep doing that, and then you get this beer, and you're brewing this really cool beer, and then you go and defend your new temple from the demons as they come invade your home turf. It's really cool. It's a really cool story, but it's not really as epic, I guess, is the best word compared to other stories. But it still has that real emotion that I think sells it as a narrative.
So people throw around the class fantasy term a lot, like they're really pushing for class fantasy, but that kind of sounds like it's appropriate to what you're saying here. Like, it's not the biggest, craziest, over the top, you know, OMG, this crazy thing happened, right? But it's very, very much like, you know, you're fits the persona of what it is to be a monk, you know, like you said, fighting off some of these bad guys and helping your friends and brewing, making beer, you know, like, but it also
cool.
But it also has a weight to it, an importance to it. So it's not just like everyday life.
Yeah, no. And I think that it's a really cool direction, because I think that monks can't really compete with like Death Knights and Paladins and Druids and Shamans in regards to all that sort of stuff. You know, I monks originally were created as a means of fighting off the Mogu oppressors during their rule of Pandaria. So monks have always been a group who kind of fight for the little guy and fight for people rather than like these grand crusades or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, monks have always been for the little guy. And I appreciate that they focus a lot on trying to deliver that sort of down to earth feeling with them while still managing to create something that is really cool and epic.
I like that. I feel like I got that vibe from it when I was playing through it. So I definitely know what you mean.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the class mount and what it and kind of what that was, the process of getting that?
Yeah. So this, I think it was a little bit cheesy, admittedly. I kind of guessed at the end, the little end surprise. but you basically go on a little like scavenger hunt trying to find Ban Lu, this great tiger, the son of Zhuan, the white tiger of Pandaria. And you just kind of go around, and you have this old master monk who's accompanying you, and surprise, turns out he was Ban Lu the entire time.
Surprise.
Yep. Like I said, it's a little cheesy. It's kind of cliche, but you know, it was fun. It was kind of cool, especially to kind of go and see, you know, all the big sites of Pandaria after we've kind of graduated from it, even though I see them every week because I'm farming Kunlai so much for like that darn like heavenly onyx jade, like cloud serpent, that stupid mount.
I gave up on. Don't you have to get all those shards or whatever it is?
No. It's just like a less than 1% drop chance.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and you have to kill one like the shine. It's one of those, man.
So there wasn't anything like really about the story of getting the class mount. I don't know. The class mount to me was like kind of funny-ish because you know, he's. I guess it's once you have it, and all of his little catchphrases and stuff are kind of funny. So usually when I'm on my monk, that's my go-to. It's annoying sometimes, but then when he's like, you should cross the river first before you tell the crocodile he has bad breath, or you know, something like that. It's funny, but you're just come on.
Look, I'm okay with him as long as he doesn't call me fat again.
Oh, he's all about trash talking.
Oh, yeah, no, he really is. But no, yeah, like, the way I kind of felt, it was sort of like, again, it was a moment of brevity, which I think the monk storyline in general excelled at. It added a bit of humor and brevity and lightheartedness to an otherwise really, really, really dark story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
In the mount story, I think, was kind of a bit of a palate cleanser. You know, you've already taken the fight to the Legion in the Legion Fall campaign. You're just waiting for the Tomb of Sargeras to open. Have a little moment to relax, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. There's been a lot of heavy content, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think the monk, if there was any class where you could have that sort of breather moment, it would be the monks. If like there was any class. Just because I mean, like, Death Knights, what are you going to... Death Knights, yeah, let's have a moment of brevity with Death Knights.
I don't know if that's a thing, but...
Imagine a deadpan joke from, like, the Lich guy, right?
That'd be like, cool.
I mean, it would be cool, but that's... I'm not doing a very good job of selling the idea of Death Knights brevity don't mix.
Hey, mate,
yeah, you're making him sound like the Deadpool of Warcraft.
Well, they did a good job with Arthas and Hearthstone and this latest expansion here. So,
oh, geez, yeah, no, Hearthstone.
There you go. Tie some of that back into Warcraft. Pull some of that in,
dude. Like my brother is a big Hearthstone fan, and when I told him like Kel'Thuzad was coming to Heroes of the Storm, he was like, "Is it the one from Hearthstone?" With all the funny jokes and stuff, and I said, probably not. It's probably like an amalgamation of everything. And he's like, I don't care.
That's freaking
get
funny.
Out of here. Get out of here.
Nice.
I only want the jokes.
That is too good.
Oh yeah, no. Like Hearthstone's so good with its writing.
I'll give it that much. All right. So I think I know the answer to this question, as it's been a common theme that we've been finding out so far, but is there anything with monks specific to Illidan and the Illidan thread?
Not really. I was kind of racking my brains around about this, and there's really not anything. No, like the Illidan stuff is really like demon hunter centric, if anything.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what we're finding out here as we go along through these state classes here. What about in 7.3? Was there anything new to the story they added in 7.3?
Unless I missed it, no. Like, yeah, I don't think they've really touched like class stuff in general since 7.2.
Mm-hmm. I know. I keep thinking there is, but then I realize there's not. It's just little tiny pieces of Argus story that it's like,
yeah.
You keep going, and Magni's like, "Hey, touch that rock, dude." And
you're I know. I had to touch the rock.
I don't
want to
touch the rock. He's like, "No, it's cool. Touch the rock." Magni, stop, dude.
2 weeks in a row.
Come on, Magni, you're drunk.
Well, he is a dwarf. Also, that's stereotyping.
Yep.
Hey,
that's okay.
See that rock over there? You should touch it.
That's so bad. No, yeah, like 7-3 and the Illidan stuff is like, there's like snippets of somewhat relevant lore. Like, I'm sure paladins probably have a little bit to talk about with 7-3, priests as well. But like not too much, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't know why I was expecting that, but I think, you know, my main playthrough that's been my main, this expansion has been a demon hunter. So I feel like they sprinkled that story with Illidan a lot more. And I guess even though I've played through all of them, I was expecting to see, you know, as Illidan was such a key character, that he would show up a little more, at least, you know, little threads here and there. And it looks like he's really not, you know, it's mainly, it's mainly Dadgar, like, at this point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. If Blizzard were to make Illidan, you know, have a brew with like Chen Storms out or something like that, and have like a 1 minute conversation, I would love that. It's probably not going to happen. Probably never will happen, but I would love it if it did.
I agree with you, but I feel like Chen is a bit of a key NPC in Monk / Pandaren lore, right?
Oh yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's like the cornerstone, honestly. He's
No, that's Lili. Lili is the cornerstone.
But Lili is the foundation upon which the cornerstone rests.
Okay.
There you go.
I accept. Nice. But like, I think they could have done that. They could have, but they would have had to have picked out like a key NPC for each class and done that. And I think maybe that would have been cool. And maybe it would have given a little more of that flavor that we're looking for this expansion, where, you know, it is about Illidan and his choices and how he's sidestepping what, you know, what Khadgar and the other guys want, right? He's going, no, like, you know, I'll help you as long as we're working on the same thing. And at the end of the day, if your goals don't match my goals, then I'm going to do what I want. And I think they could have maybe sprinkled him in a little more class specifically, but I understand why it didn't happen that way.
I mean, like, The idea of Illidan sitting down with drinks with Chen is hilarious, but the question is, would that ever really happen? And then there's this issue of, like, demon hunters have this really focused, and like Illidan especially, has this really focused story and personality. And
yeah, they're like just super angry and on point and like running and not stopping.
And there's a big issue with gelling with other classes, like how much content could you really have? And I suppose, like, again, like like Chen and Illidan talking, they're such opposite characters that contrast would be interesting to look at. But there's a big question of how significant would that be? You know, could you make a quest around that, or would it only be like little like fluff dialogue? You know, what could you realistically do with that?
Because then what would you have Illidan say to the warlocks, to the death knights, to the druids, you know, like, like, I don't know, you would kind of have to weave that thread through each of the classes, and you totally could, but saying beers with Chen, like, that's just so not gonna happen right now.
It's not Illidan, although to be fair, with druids he'd probably just be complaining about his brother.
or pining over Taranda or something.
Probably the brother thing, more so the brother, just like, how can you stand Malfurion? Like, what's he even done? Like, I know he saved the world a couple times, but come on.
And those look horns. At him.
He's got feathers.
His hair, man.
What a hippie.
So you kind of talked a little bit about what you really enjoyed about the Monk story, and we've kind of talked about what would have been cool. How about some things that maybe that did happen that you felt could have been done better?
I think, honestly, you know, to give like a semi-professional criticism, there's not really much that I can really say that is really worthy of too much critique. I think they really nailed the fantasy of the monks. I think they did a good job of portraying interesting characters. Like, even with all of the followers that are literally no-name people who were made up for this, right? They still have a lot of interesting personality, and they're interesting characters in their own right. You know, Angus Iron Fist is an interesting character. Solara Steelsong has a very definable personality that, depending on how much you like edgelords, you can appreciate.
Okay, that's she's funny. Very
serious. She's very serious. Anyway, though, but yeah, like there's a lot of really good stuff there. And I, you know, I think it's really obvious that from the artifact stories to the artifact quest lines to the monk quest lines in general, there was a lot of love and attention and passion put into those stories, arguably even more so than other classes. Like, whoever did monks put their heart and soul into it. And it
I feel that with a couple of the classes, and you seem like you're pretty familiar with the other ones as well, but there's a few Death Knights and Paladins in general where I feel like, man, those were home runs, right?
Yeah.
Some of the other ones were like, yeah, that was a thing, but like a couple of them you're like, dang, dude, that was yeah, above and beyond.
Like, mm-hmm, they nail it. The only thing, and this is kind of a commonality across pretty much most of the campaigns that I've done probably like at least half of them, probably more, but like they all feel very short. And
well, yeah, because what we were looking for is like, okay, what's going on, and what now, and then what happened. And a lot of it is, yeah, you got your order hall, you did the thing, you got your artifacts, you did a couple, mm-hmm, other things, you got your followers, you got your mount, and then that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. And like with like specifically, I feel like if anything, we spent a bit too much time doing Stormbrew stuff for monks. I think that took up too much of the narrative. It largely became a lot about Igira and her story and like the story of Stormbrew rather than monks. And you spent a lot of time just making it. And when you're done making it, then the big baddie comes in, the big bad evil guy, as we say, and like she comes in to the Wandering Isle, and you have to fight her off, and it feels not anticlimactic but very sudden. I feel like were I in charge and I had all the budget and all that stuff, because I know like what I'm asking right now is probably not something that could have been done, but I would have liked to see the Stormbrew stuff shortened and then kind of taking the fight a little bit to the Legion and then maybe having to rush back to the Wandering Isle, freaking out like as we were finishing up assault. Because I feel like at that point you have a story of, we have suffered a great loss, we're starting to rebuild, we find this secret weapon, we did it, we're now taking the fight. Oh, heck, like all of the stuff that we were trying to protect is now under attack. Let's go defend that. And that's a good story beat where you have that rising action, that bits of, yes, we failed, but now we're getting successes. And now there's a crisis and then we have to go. And then you have your big climactic ending. And I think the story beats of that probably would have been a bit better. But again, like, I'm not a quest developer for World of Warcraft. I'd like to be, but I'm not. but yeah, like, I don't know their budgets. I don't know their limitations during that period of time. I don't know what, like...
Well, to be fair, we don't know...
Other things could have been.
We don't know how the individual class, and not even spec, really, but the individual class stories, how those are going to come to a head. Are we done? Maybe. Yeah. Probably. It would be really cool to see it, you know, because... I don't know. We've seen this evolution happen with the farm in Pandaria and the garrisons and warlords and everything, and now class halls. We've seen this evolution, and I don't think the class halls are going to really continue going forward. But it would be cool to see some sort of individual class closure, I guess.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you definitely get closure from at least the original campaign in 7.0. I would like to see more monk stuff. You know, we have probably at least 9 months until the next expansion, probably longer, nine to maybe 12 months ish.
9 months. I mean, Daryl spends most of his time. There's this little, in the Warlock class hall, there's this area with these succubus and this bed, like way off. So 9 months is a long time to be chilling over there.
like, considering how much they've been pumping out content this expansion, which has been awesome, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a little bit of final, like, class love before the end. Like, sometime after Antorus kind of, like, gets a good bit going. That way we have at least some more stuff to do. Maybe with, like, 735 or something, or maybe, I don't know.
Well, have they been using the .5 patches as circling background and balancing some of the classes, or is that...
Yeah, they've largely been doing .5s as balance patches, yeah.
I know, as long as we don't get another selfie cam patch. In...
as a main content patch? No,
I know. We know. Heard a lot, and it's easier to sit here months down the road and poke at something. And, you know, like, I mean, how what was it, the 7.2, the Broken Shore, how that was touted as one of the largest patches ever. And we're like, really?
I mean, in terms of the dev stuff, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because you have, like, all your mount classes and then
that's great, but, like, how many... Yes, a lot of people play alts, but how many people are really, like, thorough with their alts?
Yeah, it's technically true.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, like, that's like fighting with your wife. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know, like, yeah, okay, fine. It's technically true, but, like, as a player, like...
How much is that?
It was 5 minutes of content, you know, like, so... Yeah.
Like, how much of it are you actually going to
I love what they did. I'm not trying to be negative about it. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like, you know, you go, this is the biggest patch ever. Well, I want the biggest patch ever then. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want something that's drug out over 12 weeks where it's like every Tuesday you log in and there's 5 minutes of work to do and then you're scratching your head. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it would be super cool to have some sort of class specific closure to the expansion.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, especially for an expansion that has done such an amazing job of just having class content. I really hope that, you know, some of that, at least maybe even as a more like a faction-wide stuff, continues with the new expansion.
Well, yeah, and if we're pushing for faction friction, I don't even know what the right word is there, but if we're pushing the Alliance versus Horde story, it may lean more into to faction story than back into the class fantasy again.
That's my guess is what they're probably going to be doing. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have to wait and see, but yeah. But yeah, no, like, getting back to it, yeah, criticism is like, it could have been paced a little bit better. That's really it. Like, I legitimately cannot think of too many, like, criticisms for the Monk story. It was one of my favorites.
I totally agree with you, but I'm not gonna lie, I feel like there has been less downtime this entire expansion than any other in the past. And I know that the downtime typically comes at the end of an expansion when you're in Dragon Soul for 16 months or Siege of Orgrimmar for 18 months, whatever it was, right? Yeah. But I genuinely feel like that's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. No, well, I mean, Antorus releases tomorrow, and I sincerely doubt we're going to have an over a year long beta cycle. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's announced. I'm expecting beta, you know, sometime the beginning of the year, and then probably.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Expansion again, like late fall. Summer, early fall, right? September-ish.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe a little bit pushed back, depending on how the beta goes. But yeah, like no later than like November-ish.
Well, I mean, they've got more people on the Warcraft team now than ever, right? And that's been. Something that was ramping up for a while, so
I'm thinking, like you said
earlier, I have no idea who's doing what and what the budget is and what the timelines are. Mm-hmm. But if I'm guessing based on what I see here, it's in everyone's best interest to get the content out on a, you know, at a good rhythm.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, to hyper simplify it, it's either going to be, we're going to get the same amount of content roughly as Legion in roughly the same amount or in shorter period of time, or we're going to get more content than Legion and roughly the same beta time as Legion. Either case, pretty sure that's a win.
Well, I feel like Daryl might agree with me here, but the Battle for Azeroth looks cool. But it also did not grab me by the downstairs and just really get me like, oh my god, I need that right now, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if they're doing Battle for Azeroth, and if they push it off too long, and it's not like the mind-blowing thing that everybody needs right now, like, it might hurt Warcraft a little.
Yeah, like, it's kind of always been my personal opinion that World of Warcraft's narrative has always been at its best when it doesn't engage with faction conflict. Like,
I think there's an assumption that people have been clamoring for that for a long time. Put the war back in Warcraft, and what happened to Horde versus Alliance? Blah, blah, you know. But I don't know. Like, that's never been it, because I mean, we've always, up until recently, we always played on PvP servers, and that was one of my least favorite things to do.
I will say, caveat: Mists of Pandaria storyline was pretty overtly Horde versus Alliance. And that was actually really good. But I think it did a good job of showing more of an anti-war side rather than an us versus them side.
Well, and it was in the Horde versus Alliance piece was buried in this, in a bigger, or it was an undertone of a bigger story where we were fighting, where we ended up having to help each other out and fight for, you know, fight the greater evil and kind of had to come together.
And
even though, you know, the stuff happened, where, you know, the Anduin and Garrosh, and like that story was super cool and I really liked it. But it kind of like, it was there, but it wasn't the focus of the expansion.
Yeah. Like, I think narratively, Mists of Pandaria is about the horrors of war.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. And then, which led into Garrosh's decision to mess with the Shah and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the faction conflict was a very notable, like, brushstroke of that. And it was essentially the background for it. But I do think it was focusing a lot more on the horrors of war. Like, you know, when you go into like Kunlai, right, and you're dealing with all of the Yongle who are attacking that Pandaren village, that is such, or like the little village near the wall that's been destroyed by the Shah. You get these.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have these moments in the narrative that you never really have seen before. Like, the only thing that comes close, the only thing that has ever come close to that, is that big battlefield in Ice Crown Glacier with all of the dead Alliance and Horde, where some Horde commander was like, we're going to attack the Alliance even though we're on the doorstep of literally the undead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that guy's logic. But like, even then, it's this horror of war of, in that sense, in Wrath of the Lich King, that was a horror of war stuff of battle, of soldiers. But we never have seen civilian casualties and civilian war during an actual war, during an actual fight, before Mists of Pandaria. Mists of Pandaria brought that to the forefront in the narrative.
Yeah, with Theramore. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Well, with Theramore, with the Pandaren, especially the Pandaren. Like, there was so much civilian play going around when before the vast majority of fighting was with organized armies.
This is not at all monk related, but I think it's good stuff. Daryl, what's your kind of your hope for how Legion kind of starts to wind down?
Oh, geez. I don't even know.
You're like your class hall. You're into that bed and the. But to like, what do you want to do? You want to just like shut it down and now we're gonna go fight the Alliance, or
see? And that's the thing is like, I'm not sold on the story of the next expansion, so I don't know where I like. I'm okay. I've had enough. I'm ready to leave the Order Hall though, because it's, you know, I don't even, the only reason I go into my Order Hall now is to put a trait into my artifact. Because all the missions, everything else I can do from my phone, and I do it from my phone. Mm-hmm. So that's literally the only reason I even go to that place anymore. So I'm ready for it to be done, where it's not a necessity to go there. I know with our artifacts, like, we're not taking them with us, so they may bring that to a head, the story of, I don't know if we're shutting down the Order Hall, because...
Oh, that's a good point.
And we need to leave the artifacts there, or if it's going to be some, you know, big amalgamation where we put all our artifacts together and
throw on the ring into the
fire, to take down you know, Sargeras. I don't know what that's going to be. It could be something like that. But the Order Halls are almost going to become obsolete in the fact that the strife between Horde and Alliance is going to be so great that we can't have a Horde Warlock and Alliance Warlock sharing the same Order Hall because it just won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't even think about that. Right now, factions share the same order hall. So
yeah, so that's not even, you know, the way they're telling it. That's not going to be feasible anymore. That's just, you know, you'd have war breaking out inside your order halls, and then they would destroy the order halls, right? So, you know, they could take it that route too, right? In the pre-patch, you know, start having battles between Horde and Alliance inside the order halls, which eventually destroy them or, you know, shuts them down or something like that.
Yeah, once we finally finish with the raid, all of a sudden, you know, that conflict is done. Then people start getting restless. And,
mm-hmm.
I'd be upset. I don't want anything bad to happen to the turtle.
the never ending story turtle.
I like the turtle.
Dude, okay, so the very first time I even ran a Pandaren through there, and it does that sweeping, like, big cinematic, like, and you all of a sudden you come around that corner and you see that you're on the back of this turtle, like,
yep,
quite possibly one of the coolest moments I remember.
Oh yeah, that's a good moment.
Yeah,
well, let's get it back on track a little bit here. I think we could, pretty close to wrapping it up. Was there anything that maybe we missed, or highlights or low points about the monk story that we wanted to touch on before we're done here?
Did I mention that Ban Lu is basically the equivalent of riding Cenarius around?
Cenarius, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, think about it, right? Cenarius is the son of Malorn, who is an ancient, right? And the August Celestials, you know, Niu Zhao, Qi Ji, Yulan, and Xuan,
mm-hmm.
are basically ancients.
Yeah, and they're like
Ban Lu is the son of an ancient, just like Cenarius is.
Plus, he won't shut up at all, and that's definitely a trait of
that's his superpower.
There you go.
Where are we going today, Grandmaster?
Every single time you mount up, okay. Yep. But I still do it because it's awesome.
It's a good mount. It's a really cool mount.
He's got that keg on his back and stuff. It's cool.
I just have to say to everyone listening, please do not drink and ride a mount. It's not good. It's not good at all.
Yeah, you could pull it off in the game, but...
Yeah, don't drink and mount people.
Don't drink and mount
people. What are we talking about now?
Well, on that note, I'm making a Daryl, do you have any other questions?
No, I think I'm good. That's probably a good place to end it. All right. Well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as our awesome guests such as Scribe that you've heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got this week for shoutouts?
Definitely Scribe, because like I said at the top of the show, no one else has ever given me a baked good at BlizzCon before, and that was unexpected and awesome and delicious, and thank you so much for taking some time to come and talk monks with us tonight. It totally hit me that you're the perfect guest for this topic here, so thank you. Definitely thank you, Daryl, for showing up tonight. I know it wasn't on your agenda, so very cool. And thank you to our raid team, who has week in and week out put in the work to continue to clear Tomb Sargeras and get those and just make it a fun experience every single time. I really appreciate it, you guys. Daryl, what do you got?
Yeah, definitely a big shout out to you, Scribe, for coming on, and it was definitely a pleasure to meet you in person at BlizzCon as well, knowing that we were already planning on having you on for the Monk Show. So that was definitely a highlight of my trip, was meeting you in person. To the raid team, of course, yes, we had another strong showing this week, and I hope that continues, because the more people we have, it's always a lot more fun. We've got a lot of great people that raid with us, and we're getting a couple other new people joining us, and it's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. It's the highlights of my week, the Friday night raids with everyone. So yes, a big shout out to all of them. And I guess I better give a shout out to Rob for doing that text to let me know that we had a show tonight. Oh my god, I can't believe that. I still can't believe that. First thing I did was check our upcoming shows. I'm like, November 27th? Well, damn it. All right, Scribe, what do you have for shout outs this evening?
Well, first I want to just thank you guys for having me on. Like, I really appreciate it. It's been a blast.
Yeah, thanks.
It's been super fun. And Rob, there was plenty more cookies where that came from. Plenty more.
Well, now I want some of this mojito ice cream. But
no, yeah, well, kidding.
I can give you my secret recipe if it's actually not horrible.
Well, we did. So yeah, we got my daughter, or we, my daughter got one of those KitchenAid, those crazy super high end mixer dealios, mm-hmm. and she's gonna get the ice cream attachment. So
good,
definitely. I think that may be coming down the pipe.
Yeah, nice. I can definitely throw it's a recipe from the New York Times. It's it's basically an all-purpose ice cream base. You can make it with like anything. I've made mint ice cream. I've made
ranch basil dressing.
Ice cream. I've never made a ranch dressing. I've made coffee,
triple jalapeno, chocolate. And
never did that.
Man,
these are this ideas.
This is all low-hanging fruit, man.
These are ideas. Yeah, no, like, it's a really good recipe. Anyway, shout-outs to Peak of Serenity, both the site and Discord and the community over there. You guys are awesome. Thank you for, like, just being you guys and you know, being a community that I don't hate to be in.
That's quite the... These days, that's quite the compliment.
No, like, for real? Yeah, like...
You are a community that I don't hate, so...
Yeah, awesome. This day and age. And then shout out to just some of my friends who I've somehow managed to like wrangle into playing World of Warcraft. You've made this loner's life in game a lot better. And I have no idea if you're listening to this, but if you are, you guys are pretty cool.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have questions about this topic or anything else?
You can find me at Brewing Scribe on Twitter or Brewing Scribe on Discord, especially Peak of Serenity. I'm the guy with the giant mug in his hand with the purple name. It's hard to miss me. Let's be honest. It's hard to miss me. And then you can also find me on my games official Discord, which I don't have like a proper link for that. Cause I'm horrible. And it's like, you know, it's not like you guys, have like a nice proper, you know, Discord/TTD. I have like, you know, the numeric, numeric.
Hey, we'll give you the heads up on that one after.
Yeah, we can give you the insider info on how to get that.
Hey, but yeah. Like if you have any interest in a tabletop role-playing game where, if you have a character concept and you want to make it, you can with this system. You know, hit me up. I love to talk about it. And you know, I'm actually looking for testers to play the game, see what could be improved and all that stuff before I try and release it soon. TM. But no, for real. Like you can just find me on Twitter, namely.
Perfect.
At Brewing Scribe.
Well, that wraps up episode 183 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!